It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Oh, he's not lying. We are living that dream and we are taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. And you can watch us on Twitch television. I'm not sure how to get there.
Twitch.tv/1013TheGame.
Right. Go there and you can see us on TV if you like. I showered this morning. I shaved my head too, but I'm wearing a hat because it's kind of cold outside. So anyway, if you want to watch the TV, go to Twitch. Aaron, good job. I have to tell you, it's always impressive to me with all of those buttons over there. What you guys don't know is off air, Aaron and I were having a very intense conversation about his future and what he's doing in his life. And all of a sudden we realize, it's 10 o'clock. Aaron, we got to start the show. And he's pushing buttons and flicking switches and right into it, no problem. So props today. I know that Rich has got some bell he rings sometimes. We don't have that kind of budget here at Sports Saturday. So I'm going to clap for you. Well done getting this show going, my friend.
We don't have cowbell money.
We have no cowbell money.
Yeah, so it's actually funny because you're applauding me, but some of those buttons should have probably already been pressed before the show started and I wouldn't have had to rush around.
And nobody would have known that if you didn't admit it.
Well,
but fair enough. You
I like
just
to own it.
I love the way you own it. I tell you what, that's a good trait of you. Anyway, it's a good trait of you. It's a great trait of who you are as a person. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. That's 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number. 802-655-6672. Big show. Listen, we know that tomorrow is Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody's excited. Even if you don't have a horse in this race, it's a big game. You got Kansas City and Pat Mahomes, and you got Tommy Terrific and his Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to talk Super Bowl with the Boston Globe's Tara Sullivan. She's going to join us next segment. I think it's going to be an interesting conversation, Aaron. And I'll tell you this because Tara Sullivan had the opportunity to cover JPP with the Giants in the Super Bowl, who now plays for the Bucs.
Yep.
And obviously, Tom Brady, now she works with the Boston Globe. She covered Tom Brady in his Patriots situation last time they were in the Super Bowl. And obviously, both players now play for Tampa Bay, but she'll have great perspective on both of these teams, I think. And I think the stories of both of these guys, JPP, Giant fans know, rookie sensation, the last time they won the Super Bowl was a big reason for that, one of the big parts of that defense. And obviously, we know what Tom Brady brings to the table, so Tara Sullivan will be a great interview. And then I don't know if you guys have noticed lately, but I have. And you, and anyone that listens to the show knows that I am by no means a big Patriots fan. Okay, but I respect greatness. I've always respected greatness. I don't care whether I don't like the team or that particular player with a lot of greatness destroys my team in some capacities, as I am just a fan. But I will tell you that I feel as if Bill Belichick is getting beat down in the media. I feel like Patriot fans are beating him down. I see it routinely. And we're going to have Pats insider Tom King join us at 11:22 so we can talk a little bit about why. Like, why are Patriot fans all over Bill Belichick? I don't get it. I don't get why the media is. But we're going to talk to Tom King about that. But what a week I've had. It's been an unbelievable week. I just want to tell you this quick story. My wife went to get her hair did. I think that's what they say now. Their hair done, which I don't even think they're haircuts anymore. I don't think my wife ever has a haircut. I think she just goes and gets it colored or something. She gets it blonder. She makes
coloring,
it brown.
Styling.
Whatever. Yeah. Which I don't do any of that. I just go out and buy some Mach 3s at the Shaw's and I shave it down. But anyway, my wife goes to get her haircut the other day. And she ends up getting it done, and unfortunately, it cost us $17,000. As the cost was supposed to only cost $170, I guess, but the person putting it into the computer put in $17,000 and closed it, which means that we've been dealing with that all week, trying to get the understand that that money should not, you know, so that really cramped us for a little while. We don't have, you know, that's a lot of money in the bank. You know, you're taking that out. Not that I've got that kind of money in the bank. I'm just saying.
I was going to say, that check bounced for
me. I mean, I mean, it's a little scary there. So anyway, that got there. That's getting fixed. But what a week it's been. But enough about me, as we should kind of get a little bit into that. Vermont sports are back at it, Aaron. It's very exciting. Governor Scott came out yesterday afternoon and announced that high school sports and youth sports can come back and play. I think they're going to start next week.
Yep.
It's exciting. UVM men's basketball. I know the women's basketball team decided they're not going to play the rest of the season due to COVID, but the men's basketball team is back practicing. The men's hockey team is back practicing. So UVM sports that want to play and are going to still play their seasons are back practicing. So a lot of good news coming out yesterday on this. So people should be excited.
Yeah, so it's really exciting, I think, for everybody to have UVM back for obvious reasons. Obviously, it's fun to watch men's basketball play, and men's hockey has had sort of a uptick this year that gives a lot of hockey fans in the state hope. But I'm really excited for those high school kids who play winter sports who are going to get to have a season, because there was some concern, I think, for a while about whether or not that was going to happen. And there's some rules around it. I know, I think it's like you're only allowed to play two games in a week and they have to be 3 days apart. But that's still way better than nothing, which was a possibility.
And like James from the South, but I just want to make sure I read it. It's the $17,000 you're talking about, a budget for Rich's Bell. Hey, listen, I don't have that kind of money. That's the point. We didn't have that kind of money. But anyway, that's another story for another time. And we appreciate you texting James from South Burlington.
We could buy a lot of bells with $17,000.
If I had that kind of money in the bank, we'd all have a bell. I'd buy you a bell. But yeah, you know, I'm excited about the kids coming back and being able to play. I just want terminology to be different. You know, I just want us to be excited about it. You know what I'm saying? We've gone through so much. These kids have gone through so much. Yes, I'm so sick of talking about COVID, and I know it's here, and I'm not trying to ignore it, and I'm not saying that it's not serious, and you have to take, you know, I mean, I own a business during this process. I know how serious this is, and I take it very seriously. But the first article I read this morning about UVM getting back was, UVM's back, but we're cautious. They're being very cautious. Like, we get we're being cautious. But we need some reality back, right? We need to be able to start looking forward to these games and for these kids to be excited about playing again. Yes, high school sports this winter is going to be a lot different than these kids have ever dealt with. But you know what? It looks like we're going to have a season. Might be shorter. You might only have whatever the rules they've put into place, whether you think they're right or they're too harsh or whatever. I don't care. They're going to play. And the terminology needs to start being, you know, hey, we're back. Let's be excited about being back and playing. That's where I want us to get to, where we can be excited about it, where the article is UVM Catamount basketball is back. UVM hockey is back. And not thinking about, yeah, we're back, but. Like, yeah, we get the but. We've heard the but for the last year. We know it. There's some good news coming out, too, about this, right? I mean, I think I read an article yesterday that 40% of the infection rates are down. I mean, things are getting better. There's vaccines. People are, I think, feeling a little bit more confident. Some states around the country are opening more. And obviously, there's some good things happening. But it's just time for us to be excited again. You know, I'm just going to be blunt with you. I'm not a radio. This isn't what I do for a living. I mean, I love the opportunity to be here. I'm a fan. The reason I do this is because I'm just a fan. I make pizza for a living. Like, I'm just a guy that sits around the table with, you know, when you are talking, I can't even sit around a table with friends anymore. But when you talk about your friends, you're talking about your teams and you love your sports teams and you look forward to watching your team play. That's what sports has always been to me, is a release. I'm a coach. I coach kids in high school to play. I coach a soccer team at Colchester. It's one of, if not the greatest pleasure of my life. You look forward preparing and practicing with these kids to get them ready. And as fans and as people that want to watch these, this is a way for a lot of people to get that release in life, right? You have a long week at work. You have a long day at work. You want to come home and watch your favorite team play and enjoy it. It's about to happen again if you're a UVM men's basketball fan, a UVM men's hockey, or UVM women's hockey team, which, by the way, is unbelievable right now. I mean, this team has got a lot of talent. They're an up-and-coming program. And we have high school sports. So your favorite high school team is going to be back on the hardwood, back on the ice. not all sports, like, you know, wrestling isn't being allowed to come back. But let's start having some terminology. How about the sports writers of our area start to say, I would love to see the headline at all the Vermont sports papers say, they're back. And let's be excited about it. We know we have to be cautious. We know they have to wear masks. We know that it can be dangerous. We get all that. But let's be excited to play, and let's be excited to talk about the Catamounts' next big game, and I think it's next week against Albany. That's what we need to get back to, Aaron, and I'm excited. I think that's where we're going.
Yeah, so there's plenty of time, and we've done plenty of this where you have the nuanced conversation about the motivations and whether or not it's right at the pro level to be forcing sports through. But at the end of the day, sports, I think, is a release that so many people need so badly right now. For my sisters, like, sports have been one of their only releases through all this. For me, the only time I feel normal really is either sitting in this chair or watching a game at home. Like, that's the only time life feels normal. I think people need that right now because we're all going stir crazy, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You need it. And again, but every time we get a feel of something normal, it's almost as if we get told, oh, yeah, but, there's always the but. Like, we all get the but. We all understand that it's dangerous. We all get it. Let us just, you know, the kids get to play their games. These seniors in high school this year, like, I don't know if anyone, and everyone listening to us, listen to the show, like sports, so either you played or you understand what's, you coached at some level, what playing means. That these kids work their whole careers, usually for this season if you're a senior. And for a lot of these winter sports athletes, there has been some real fear, and I know a lot of them, that they weren't going to have their season, that they weren't going to have the ability to compete again. And that's a scary proposition because when a lot of these kids leave high school, it's over for them to play in a situation like this. The fact that we now have that opportunity is just awesome to me. And I'm hoping that we have no more issues, that we can just continue the season. We can be talking about Rice's big game with BHS or, you know, Milton's big game with Fairfax or whoever your favorite team is, that we can be excited about that moment. And that's where we got to get to. And that's what I'm excited about. And when I'm and also be excited about the Vermont sports programs. I mean, the men's basketball team before this COVID shutdown was starting to become the team that we all expected them to be.
They were getting hot. They were getting going.
They were. And I want that. And I can't wait to see what they can do now. And hopefully they don't skip a beat. Hopefully they have the ability to be able to turn it back on. I think you've got to give them a pass for at least a couple of weeks because they really have shut it completely down. And you have to also have to give them a ton of props because I was just talking to Bernie Siplicki a couple weeks ago about this. You know, these kids have been in quarantine.
Yep.
You know, they're not in quarantine with their families or in their homes. They're in quarantine in their dorms in most capacities. And these kids have made a lot of sacrifices to get to this point. So you hope that they have the turnaround and they have the experience that they want as well. But I think for fans and for everybody, let's have some fun now. Let's enjoy it. Let's not think of what could happen in terms of what if we get shut down again, or what if there's another person that gets COVID? How about we think it's not? How about our terminology becomes, we're not going to be nervous about COVID. We're just going to go play and we'll deal with whatever happens when it happens. Because right now we get to play, and that should be the most exciting part.
Yeah, I think everyone's trying to be diligent in those programs. I know there was a breach a little while back, which is why they shut everything down. But, you know, once you've cleaned out the system and there's no more cases and everyone's cleared, I think it's time to go out there again and be careful, and hopefully you don't get another outbreak of any kind.
And yeah, and what I'm saying is I just think that I want the terminology to start being excited that we're playing.
Yeah.
Not nervous about what could happen. You know, or not nervous about what somebody thinks is going to happen or whatever somebody's mentality is about this. Just excited that we can play again. There needs to be that mentality. There needs to be that, okay, we're playing again. It's like having you had a snow day. Now you're back to work. You're back to be able to go to practice. You're back to be able to play. And that's what we need to be excited about. And that's what we got to hang our hat on. Now, there are going to be people, and I've read it, that are upset in the high school thing. You know, you can only play two games within 7 days. Whatever. You can argue about that. Fair enough. You want to argue about that? I'm not going to argue about that. Whatever the rules are right now, those are the rules. But they get to play. And that's where I'm just ecstatic for them. I'm ecstatic for the kids. And I know it's going to be different, but I promise you this. As someone that went through this in the fall and again, obviously not as intense as it was this winter, but our season was delayed in the fall. The mask mandate in terms of our kids having to wear them playing was brand new to those kids. So that was a shock to us. But as soon as you start competing again, I just want everyone to understand, once you start competing again, and you start playing against other schools, it all comes back. You don't even notice it. You just play. And that's what's going to be most important for these kids. And I am thrilled, Aaron, that they're going to have that opportunity now.
High school sports is one of the most special extracurricular things you can do as a teenager. Like, it's a really special bond between your teammates, an opportunity to compete. And having that, even if it's been transformed in some way to make it safer, given all this stuff, having it is still so much better than not having it.
All right, let's get to the Green City Garage poll question. Green City Garage, located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington. Phone number 802-651-9299. Listen, I've told you guys this. I tell you this every single week. Green City Garage is the place to go if you have a car issue. And I've told many people that I know, and they all go there. Not only is Chris Wallace, the owner of Green City Garage, and his staff amazing at what they do, it's also an environmentally friendly garage, which means that everything that they do is good for the environment. They take care of the environment with it, and it's the cleanest garage I've ever been in. In fact, it's much cleaner than my garage, but that's probably not saying much. Okay, but Chris Wallace and Green City Garage, get the job done over there. Check them out, 802-651-9299. The question today is, if you can go to 101.3 The Game at Twitter and answer it, who do you got in the Super Bowl? A, the Kansas City Chiefs, or B, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Aaron, who do you got?
I do not bet against Tom Brady. I don't do it. Not in the playoffs. I think it's going to be a tough one. I think it'll be close, but I think playoff Tom Brady prevails.
Everything is telling me, and we'll talk more about this later on, but everything in this terms of this game tells me that I should pick Kansas City, that I should pick the Kansas City Chiefs because of what they did a couple weeks ago against Buffalo. But like you just said, there's something about Tom Brady in Super Bowls, unless he's playing the New York Football Giants, baby, because we know what happens then. But against this Kansas City team, it's hard to pick against them, but I'm going to go with you on this, I think. I think I'm going to pick the Bucs to win. There's something magical about it, and it's not because of Tom Brady. It's because I think that Bucs defense makes things happen. They create turnovers. If they can hit Mahomes over a couple times, and they can get some pressure on him, and as long as they can cover Kelce. I don't understand why no football team can come up with covering great tight ends. And I understand that they're big, they're strong, they're fast, but there's never anybody around them.
Well, Travis Kelce also has the benefit of Tyreek Hill also being on the field, so you can't do a lot of the stuff you would normally do against a good tight end.
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, there's got to be a way that you can handle dealing with Hill, keeping him in front of you, and figure out a way, because Kelsey's the guy that kills you. If you can figure out a way to limit him, you're going to be in good shape. I'm going to pick the Bucs. Why not? I'd love to see Brady do it. Anyway, all right, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl with the Boston Globe's Tara Sullivan. Don't go anywhere.
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
We are back here on 101.3 The Game. This is Sports Saturday. Jeff Paul, Aaron Wells taking you through the morning, getting you ready for Super Bowl tomorrow. And, you know, I thought about this. You know, who better to talk to about the Super Bowl than our next guest joining us on the TikTok Jewelers guest line from the Boston Globe, Tara Sullivan, who's covered her plenty of Super Bowls in the past and covered JPP and has covered Tom Brady. Obviously, as a Giants fan, JPP is, you know, close to my heart. Tara, good morning. Thanks for taking the time.
Good morning. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
So let's talk about this game. You know, you've covered a lot of Super Bowls. You've been around some special teams. I feel like this Tampa team kind of reminds me, obviously Tom Brady's a part of it, but they kind of remind me of some of those Giants teams that beat Brady and the Patriots the last two times. Teams that came into the tournament, I think people thinking, potentially, but a team that got hot at the right time and has put themselves in a position against a juggernaut like Kansas City. Do they have some of the same traits?
Well, it's like you read my mind, because one of the columns I wrote midweek, I actually had a fabulous conversation with Eli Manning about that very subject. Because in particular, they remind me of the 07 Giants. Now, of course, like you said, the disclaimer up top is that the quarterback situation is different, right? In 07, the Giants, the jury was still out on Eli Manning. Nobody knew if he was going to be a bust or not. So I get that. And Brady obviously changes that equation completely for Tampa Bay. But in terms of the team chemistry and that whole road warrior ethos that the Giants in 07 picked up on, wild card berth, three road wins, winning the championship game in Green Bay, and then a rematch with a team that they had barely lost to by 3 points in the regular season. Flash forward now to these Bucks, wild card berth, three road wins, including the championship game in Green Bay, and they meet Kansas City, which was their last regular season loss, by 3 points. So I do think there is some of that same energy, and I think Eli even agreed with that, which it's hard to ignore some of the parallels there.
And nobody wants it. In my circles and things that I read, and I'm not doing this every day like you are, but I feel as if, obviously, we know what Tom Brady brings to the table, even though Tom Brady looked very mediocre in the second half against Green Bay. I mean, he literally almost handed the game back to Green Bay. And there are obviously some questionable play calls late in that game. But that aside, I don't know if this Tampa defense gets enough credit. I know that statistically throughout the season they weren't great, but through these playoffs they've been special.
You're 100% right. And I'm reading, and all the people I talk to, it's one of those, it's hard to call it under the radar because people do know they have a great defensive line. And the thing that they have that, again, reminds me of the Giants formula that was able to say to beat Brady on the other side was, you know, one-on-one getting pressure from the four guys up front, like not having to do a lot of fancy stuff but winning one-on-one battles. And I feel like this Tampa team, and as you mentioned, having a JPP in that mix who has done this on this stage, that they could win some of those battles and it lets the defense do so much more, right, when you can win those battles up front. Of course, the reason I think it sometimes gets overlooked, that's a credit to Mahomes, because Mahomes moves in a way that I'm just not sure that I've ever seen in my lifetime. Like, the things that he can do on the run just change all of that. They change so much of what a defense can do, because even if you do everything right, get the pressure, you should be able to sack him. Like, Mahomes could look like Eli on the Tyree catch, right, on every play. As remarkable as that was for Eli, that was the exception to the rule for him. We've seen it, right? The ones where he rolls right, moves his feet, and then throws a dart, across his body the other way, there is no way to defend that. So that's where I'm fascinated by the matchup. But to come back to your original point, Tampa Bay's defense absolutely could win this game for them.
So would Tampa Bay beating Kansas City be as big an upset as what the Giants did with the Patriots?
I don't think so, no, because the whole Patriots, they would have gone down as the greatest team in NFL history if they had won an 18-0 regular season, whatever, and then combined that with a Super Bowl win. I think the historic nature of what they would have accomplished, the offensive numbers that they had put up that season, I think it's one of the greatest upsets. I mean, maybe we're biased because of what I was working, in New York at that time. But I don't think it would compare. And I think anytime Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl, even if it is by betting rules an upset, I don't think you could ever call it an upset just based on Brady's experience and pedigree of winning these things.
Tara, one of the things that amazed me, and maybe you can clear this up for me, because listen, I'm definitely not the smartest guy that's ever lived here, but I never could understand why Jason Witten would own the Giants the way he did. You watch that, he was always wide open, and then you watch Buffalo play Kansas City the other two weeks ago, and the same thing could be said about Travis Kelce. I mean, that tight end, truly to me, and I understand that they've got other weapons, but that tight end is the guy that they have to stop. I really truly feel that if there is a way for Tampa to limit Kelce's touches, that they can win, that they will win the football game. Why is it? And the excuse, they're big, they're strong, they're fast.
Yeah.
But how can you not cover a tight end? I don't get why they're that wide open.
Well, they try. They just don't have, it's just hard. Like, when you have certain tight ends who can get into small spaces, and move the way that a receiver moves, but hit the way, almost the way like a linebacker hits, that they just, when you find certain packages, I agree with you. I mean, having watched the Giants for all those years, Witten was an absolute nightmare for them all the time. But I will say this, even last night I was interviewing Andrea Kramer, a longtime NFL analyst, for a story that I was doing, and she said, and I thought this was a great point, when you're facing the Chiefs, if you try to go, one-on-one to handle, say, Tyreek Hill, he's going to beat you one-on-one, but if you try to go zone, Kelce's going to beat you in the zone. Like, that's the problem, I think, in the Kansas City case, is that you have to pick your poison, and if it ends up being Kelce, it probably means that Hill is going to go off, and if it ends up being Hill, it's probably going to allow for Kelce. So that's where the challenge is, I think. And if Tampa's defense has any question marks, it's in the, you know, in the secondary area and being healthy there. So I don't have the answer for you. Like, I've watched it from Bavaro when I was a kid, you know, to Gronkowski up at, you know, I've seen them when they are good enough. They are one of the most difficult positions to handle defensively.
I think Kansas City this year has been interesting to me because the last three or four weeks of the season, the last month of the season, even playing Cleveland, it just looked like Kansas City's offense got figured out. I mean, they played very poorly against some teams that you'd expect them to play very well against. They didn't score a whole lot of points. And then they obviously opened it up against Buffalo, and they looked like the Chiefs that we expected them to be all season. I talked about it last week on the show, Tara, and I thought, well, maybe the Chiefs are just one of those teams that they're built for this moment. You know, they were built for the AFC Championship. Obviously, the injury to Mahomes against Cleveland changed the dynamic of that game because that game was going in a direction where Cleveland was going to get blown out. But is this? Did you look at that as something you weren't worried about, and that the team that we saw 2 weeks ago is the team we're going to expect to see tomorrow?
I'm with you. I was, you know, definitely sort of wondering what was going on with Kansas City. Not seeing them every week, but sort of just paying attention in the league and wondering, is there still a little bit of a hangover? Like, what's going on there, right? Like, they're not scoring at that same rate. But they do, I think you're onto something personally, like an ability to flip a switch. Certain teams are just like that, and that they are built, especially now coming off last year's Super Bowl win. You know, they know what it takes. We just got to do enough. And now you're at the final. Now you're at the finish lines, right? The championship game, the championship game, and now the Super Bowl. And I think they will be able to sort of unload whatever's left in the chamber. You know, like that, whatever they have left, we're going to see. And Mahomes, I think the health thing was definitely an issue. Obviously, the concussion came up differently in that game, but whatever was going on with his toe and his ankle and his feet, and he seemed to just hit a stride more in the last game. So I think there's something to that they are now prepared for this moment in a way that many teams that get to this stage think of, you know, the Rams or all the Falcons, like a lot of the teams that Brady has beaten over the years weren't quite as ready for this stage. But the Chiefs certainly are, which I think it might be the toughest in that regard. I know he doesn't face the other quarterback, but it's like the best quarterback team that he has faced, I think, in a Super Bowl, maybe since his very first when he faced Kurt Warner.
Before I ask you for your prediction of the game, I wanted to ask a Patriots question. Obviously, it looks like they've got a lot of money to work with. They need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine from Philadelphia who thinks he's in the know, so to think that I know anybody in the know is crazy anyway, but he sent me a message last night saying that Carson Wentz, the Patriots are big on Carson Wentz. What do you see them doing in the quarterback position, whether it's Carson Wentz, and do you see them making a move sometime soon?
They have to make a move. I think they'll draft one, but that can't be their starter. And I think they're in on all this stuff. I think that they're going to find out if Jimmy G is available. And I know he's had some health issues. He seems to be a consensus choice among my Globe colleagues, you know, that he makes the most sense, many of whom covered him while he was there. I was not there yet. So Wentz, to me, is a guy who makes sense in terms of the skill set that he has matching up sort of with what the Patriots like. I hear people throw another one-year bridge, like maybe a Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I love as a storyline. I think that would be great, but I don't know if that's the answer. He's kind of that gunslinging type. Maybe we talked about this before, but maybe doesn't fit quite the Belichick mold. I mean, they would have loved to be in on a Deshaun Watson, but there's no way he's coming to New England. He would never allow that trade, I don't think. Plus, they don't have the capital, the draft capital, or even young players to make a deal like that. So it's going to be something. And all I'll say is this. I don't have a specific answer, but the Patriots offseason should be the most interesting we've ever seen of the Belichick years, and maybe his most important because they just have so much work to do.
All right. What's your prediction for tomorrow night?
Well, this whole Chiefs thing now with the, you know, Reed's son and the coaching staff, if that roils them in any way, maybe I'm wrong, but my thought all along and what I did in the paper is the Chiefs in a close game, I think, right on that line, you know, around the 3 points. It's very dumb of me because I've picked against Brady every time this postseason, and I've clearly been wrong every time. But I think the Chiefs are more prepared, so I would pick them in a close one.
Tara, you're the best. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you down the road.
Anytime. Enjoy the game.
All right. Thank you. The Boston Globe's Tara Sullivan. Interesting perspective, you know. And, you know, we didn't mention, but it's if you didn't hear last night, you were just mentioning it off the air. Yep. That you go ahead, bring it up.
So last night, Brett Reed, or I don't know if it was last night or if the reports came out last night, Brett Reed got in a car accident with two vehicles. It caused the injury of a five-year-old child.
Andy Reed's son.
Yep, Andy Reed's son and the Chiefs linebackers coach, I believe. Yep. The reports from the scene said that there was a smell of alcohol. I don't know if there's been any confirmation that he's being charged with a DUI or anything. I believe I heard it was not his, it would not be his first, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But basically there's some stuff going on with the Reed family that's going to affect coaching because Brett is actually the linebacker's coach as well. So it's kind of, first of all, it's very sad and scary to see that a five-year-old child was hurt. And it's also interesting to see how that will affect that team.
Yeah. And I guess the five-year-old child was hurt badly from what I read this morning. So that obviously a tragedy there, and hopefully everybody pulls through. And that's gotta be a distraction. I mean, that cannot not be a distraction, for regardless of whether, Reed was a linebacker's coach, but even for the father, I mean, for Andy Reed to go into the game with that kind of stuff, is going to be difficult. And, play calling is play calling, but, we'll see. And sometimes it's a rally, there's a rallying cry there, for Andy Reid and the support, and obviously, but to have that happen to a young child, and it's a terrible thing. So it'll be interesting to see. But sure, her perspective is interesting, and her perspective on the Patriots going after a quarterback. I didn't even think about Ryan Fitzpatrick, but what a fit that would be. And by the way, your beard is looking very Ryan Fitzpatrick right now.
That's what I'm going for. Yeah. I would love Ryan Fitzpatrick. I understand her concern with the fact that he's not necessarily a great fit. I know he's a bit of a gunslinger. He likes to take some risks, but he's, by all accounts, an immaculate teammate. He's a very good arm talent. He's actually been a good contributor to pretty much all the teams he's ever played with. And he obviously gives that Fitzmagic moment every once in a while. I think as a one-year or two-year Band-Aid, he's not the worst option out there. I don't like the idea of Carson Wentz at all. I think, first of all,
he listened to you.
The contract. I don't like the contract. It's massive, and there's no indication that he can necessarily live up to that. And then also, it feels like he's kind of got the yips almost, and I don't want to have to be the team that fixes that.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I mean, but they have a lot of money to spend, and we'll see what the Patriots do with that. But we'll talk about that another time, because right now we got a big game to get ready for. But first, when we come back, I know Colin Cowherd's on this network, and I know he's a big deal, but my God, his take sometimes... we're gonna play something for you next. We're gonna talk about it. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Saturday here on 101.3 The Game. I'll tell you, there's a lot of piling on going on right now on the Patriots and Bill Belichick, and we're going to talk about the Bill Belichick side of this stuff, and maybe a little bit now here too, but more in the second half of the show with Tom King, Patriots Insider, as we talk about that. But Colin Cowherd had an interesting take this week, and I will tell you that as time has gone on, there's some radio hosts that I used to love, and I still like them, but these guys have just gotten out of control. I don't know if it's because they've gotten so big that, and I don't mind hot takes, but you got to hear this, and we're going to discuss this. So, Aaron, let's play this.
Am I the only person, and maybe I am, but the Patriots now with Brady feels like a long time ago. They're irrelevant. I mean, Tom's going to be the only guy that gets two statues. One in New England, one in Tampa.
Okay, stop there. Let's stop.
They're so bad.
Stop on that one. First of all, what are you talking about? The Patriots are irrelevant right now. The Patriots have been the standard bearer, and we're going to let this continue because there's more gems in this one, Colin. There's a lot of it. There's a lot in there. Look, I'm going to premise all this. I know that this is 101.3 The Game is the Patriots network. You hear the Patriots. This is where Patriot fans come. I have never in my life ever not respected greatness. And the Patriots for the last 20-plus years, for the exception of this year, have been the standard bearer for what the NFL, every NFL team has wanted to be. The NFL teams were prying coaches off Bill Belichick's tree, hoping to get some of that magic. Hoping to get some of that magic. And now this year, with COVID and Brady not, and them not deciding not to re-sign Tom Brady, and Brady going to Tampa, it wasn't a great year for them. And there might be reasons for that. Because the Patriots were kind of in a position where they were starting to peak when COVID hit Cam Newton. And I'm not going to break all that down with Cam. It wasn't a good year for the Patriots. It was tough. Guys opted not to play. It was a struggle year for the Patriots. Because there's no question about it. But to diminish them all of a sudden like they're irrelevant is ridiculous. And to say that there's going to be a statue of Tom Brady in Foxborough, which there should be, and that there's going to be one in Tampa as well, is nauseating at best. Even if Tom Brady leads them to a championship this year, that's not going to happen. Okay, let's keep going on with Connor. Let's keep going on with Colin.
Pat and Tom so good, they don't matter. And remember this, and we kind of predicted this. We said, in Boston, the Patriots aren't the Celtics or the Red Sox. They're not even the Bruins. Those teams, Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito, the Red Sox history, the Celtics, Bill Russell, those teams were dominant in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Even if the Red Sox weren't winning titles, they were such a part of the sport. I mean, I'm a kid that grew up in Seattle. In the 70s, here comes Freddie Lynn and Jim Rice and Louis Tiant and Carlton Fisk. Like, the Red Sox were a draw then. In the 80s, they were better than the Yankees. That's never been the Patriots. The Patriots were a mess forever. The stadium was a mess. Didn't make any money. Miami, you know, was the team on the coast, or it was Pittsburgh, or it was the Giants. I mean, they were a mess forever before Tom Brady. Parcells was good for about 45 minutes, but he left. Pete Carroll came in. That didn't work. That's why they've never had any sustained success without Brady. Hell, Belichick couldn't win the year before Tom started, and he couldn't win the year after he left.
Okay, let's just break that down. Number one, I mean, what is he talking about, that the Patriots are the last team that the fans of Boston care for because they weren't good in the 70s and 80s and maybe the 90s? I mean, the Celtics in the 60s were unbelievable, and they were unbelievable in the mid-80s. But where were they after that? The Celtics were an afterthought until Kevin Garnett got there. An afterthought. And the Bruins? I mean, come on. The Reds, I would argue Boston is a Red Sox town, but the Red Sox weren't a national brand until Big Poppy and David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez got there. They weren't a national brand. They were the fun losers that people kind of rallied to late because the Yankees were, you know, but that's because of the branding of the Yankees and the Red Sox. But to sit here and say that the New England Patriots are irrelevant and that Bill Belichick can't do it without Tom Brady and that they stunk before and they stunk after, do we base everything on just the championships or what they were? The Patriots were the program and the organization that was coming up with Drew Bledsoe. Yeah. I mean, Drew Bledsoe was getting that team to that point. The injury happens and Brady comes in. I just want to make my final point. To downplay what the Patriots are and what Bill Belichick is to me laughable and sloppy. What he has done as a professional is unbelievable. You don't even recognize what he did for that New York Giants defense of the 80s, how he developed them. It's unbelievable. But when you look at what, and then you look at what he did in Cleveland. Watch that episode. He left Cleveland. He was building that Cleveland Browns organization. I'm telling you, I just think it's crazy. Go ahead.
That team went and became a very good Baltimore team. They got yanked out of Cleveland. The coaching staff left, but the players went with, and that team ended up being good.
Yes.
In those first few years with Brady, a lot of that success came from that defense that Bill built. And here's what I'll say. 20 years as a dynasty in the NFL is so unprecedented. So few dynasties even make it even close to 10 years in the NFL. Very rarely is it more than four. Like, you see, you know, talk about the 49ers was like an 8-year run where they were very good.
I don't even know if it was 8 years.
I think there were.
I mean, they went through the era with Montana and then Steve Young where they had great teams. The Cowboys had it with Troy Aikman for a few years.
Like four, I think. Three or four.
Yeah, they had a nice run.
We're talking about a 20-year dynasty it takes more than a quarterback for that. As even a quarterback as great as Tom Brady, the greatest that ever lived, it takes more than that. It takes defense, it takes coaching, it takes culture, it takes all of it, because that run is the game-breakingly absurd. It's two decades. It's my entire life.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, what he's done in a business that's about mediocrity, and the NFL is NFL teams.
Parity, constant change.
Yeah, they're all mediocre football teams. I mean, how many teams have we said, oh, this is the next big thing. This is the next Patriots. Even this Kansas City team, they might win a championship this year and maybe next year. But this team isn't going to be 20 years of dominance. It's just not going to happen. It probably will never happen again. But more importantly, I think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever to live. There is absolutely no question about it. No question. What he's been able to accomplish has been amazing. But Bill Belichick's building of that organization and his design and how he's been able to take players that every year, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Belichick brings in different guys and lets guys go. And what do we say every year? Even when Brady was there, what is he doing? How can you let this guy go? How can you let that guy go? Who is this guy they're bringing in? Who is this guy? What are they going to do here? Why are they going there? And yet they're winning every year. They're the standard bearer every single year. And to immediately diminish this team and that coach this quickly is sloppy, in my opinion, for a guy like Colin Cowherd who does this for a living. But this is what we got now. There's got to be that hot take. We got to kick them while they're down. Bill Belichick now has, for the first time ever, has a lot of money to work with and has the opportunity to build the team back to where I think every Patriot fan hopes they get to. And you know what? Maybe they're never going to win a championship game. What if Brady gets blasted tomorrow? I mean, let's face it. Yes, Brady's had some season, but Brady at times has been mediocre this year. He was insanely mediocre 2 weeks ago in the second half against Green Bay. And if it wasn't for maybe a couple mistakes in Aaron Rodgers' decision not running the football, or maybe some decision-making in the play call against Green Bay, we're talking about a meltdown by Tampa Bay, and we're talking about Green Bay getting ready to play Kansas City. I love Brady. I really do. I'm in awe of what he's been able to accomplish with the skill sets he has, because he's not one of those overly athletic guys. But he's a guy that's my age that's still playing the game and getting it done, and you respect that. But to diminish what Bill Belichick and the Patriots have done and what the Patriots mean to the people of Boston? Are you kidding me? You've got to be kidding me.
I also think it's a massive underestimation of Boston fans, because being the fourth biggest team in Boston, well, that was probably the case with the Patriots for a while, still makes you one of the biggest teams on earth, because Boston fans are nuts and there are a lot of them.
Well, but the point is that,
like, it's.
I mean, but to make the example that, oh, the Patriots, like, what are they? They're irrelevant. What do they even mean? What's the point of the Patriots? They're not even, like, what are you talking about? Boston loves their sports teams, and yep, when you're winning, it trumps everything. I mean, you know, if you could be in Kansas City right now, if the Royals are winning World Series like they were a few years ago, and Kansas City is, you know, the Chiefs are not, people are going to love the Royals in Kansas City. In Tampa Bay, you know, when the Lightning are winning their Stanley Cup championships, the Bucks are, no one's talking about the Bucks. And then, of course, nobody ever talks about the Rays, just because the Rays are in St. Petersburg. But that's another whole debate. But the point being is to talk about the Patriots like they're irrelevant now, and that they've never meant anything to the city of Boston is crazy. And you're talking to a guy that's a New York sports fan that can't stand the Red Sox, can't stand the Celtics, even though I respect the heck out of what they're doing in Boston with the Celtics, because I love Brad Stevens. But what Bill Belichick has meant to the NFL, what he's meant to the city of Boston and New England in general, cannot be just diminished by a guy that, you know, grew up in Seattle, but because he thinks the Red Sox were relevant and look what the Red Sox did in the, like, what, big deal. They didn't win anything. The Red Sox didn't win anything until the 2000s. And the only reason they were a national brand was because ESPN, the biggest name in sports at the time, had built the Yankees and Red Sox rivalry into something again. People couldn't wait to watch it. It was the two powerhouse organizations. And what a story when the Red Sox finally overcame the Yankees, coming the first team to come back from 3-0. I mean, it was a great, the Red Sox are always, that's when they became a brand. They were never a brand. They were never the brand the Yankees were or the Dodgers were. They are now because they've won some championships. And because of that moment, the Patriots are a brand. And to diminish that is just wrong.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me with a dynasty that large to be downplaying that organization's relevance like 2 years after it ended.
Yeah, it's not even 2 years. It's a year. And you don't know. Like, what?
A season and a half ago, they were 8-0, right?
Yeah, exactly a year and a half ago, we were talking about this New England Patriot team about being undefeated, remember? And then the injuries happened, and then they kind of fell apart. And hey, Tom Brady was the quarterback of that football team, right? I don't know. I just think it's a ridiculous take by Colin Cowherd. But, you know, I've noticed it. A lot of the guys, I know we got to take a break because we got your out in left field coming up. But I will just tell you that a lot of the guys that I grew up listening to on the radio who I've got, and I still have a ton of respect for, and even Colin Cowherd, I mean, he's a big name. I love listening to him. And you can listen to him here on 101.3 The Game. But these guys have just gotten, they've almost gotten too big. You know what I mean? Like, I like the guys, like, if you got to listen to, like, small-town radio. Like, not that even small-town, even a WFAN in New York City. You got just guys that are fans. Like, that's why I love our show, because we're just fans. You know, we're just talking as we see it. You know what I mean? We can't wait to get home and get in our chair and watch the games. We're still paying, you know, when we can finally go to games, we're sitting in the nosebleed section, just want to root for our teams. That take by Colin Cowherd is just off.
Yeah, the thing with the hosts, actually, is I like that you brought that up. Like, we do the hot or not segment, that's mostly actually just to go rapid fire on subjects and get fan engagement and stuff. But it feels like a lot of these guys are looking for the next hot take that will get them on headlines, looking for the next opportunity to get a clip for their Twitter page, more so than actually, you know, living in reality.
I just think that take is wrong, and it probably just meant to have us talk about it because that's what we're doing, and people will go to the show, and good for him because it's smart.
And but, Colin's like that with everything. I know I'm more ramped up about it because it's a Pats thing. You're more ramped up about it because it's flying in the face of greatness. But he does this with a lot of people. He did this with Baker Mayfield for the longest time where every time Baker did so much as breathe, he would trash him.
I agree. No, I've heard what he does, and I get it, and I get the hot takes. But that take in particular just to me was just insane.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense, and I just think diminishing what the Patriots have meant to the NFL. I know that most people, if you don't like them, you hate them. I mean, trust me, and I'm one of them. Even as a Giants fan, you don't hate them as much because you've beaten them twice. But at the same time, you know, to diminish what they've done in a league where nobody's ever done it, I just think it's wrong, and it's too soon to be beaten on Bill Belichick and the Patriots. It's way too soon. One season in a COVID year can't define who he is or what he is as a coach. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's out in left field time. Don't go anywhere.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is out in left field on 101.3 The Game.
Listen to 101.3 The Game Sports Saturday. When you hear this music going, Aaron's got something, well, usually something pretty goofy going on. What do we got today, buddy?
This week's no exception. New Zealand sentences cactus smuggler caught with 947 plants strapped to her body. New Zealand authorities have sentenced a woman who tried in 2019 to smuggle nearly 1,000 cacti and succulent,
fair enough,
into the country strapped to her body. The woman, She pleaded guilty to violating biosecurity laws after she was caught twice with plants and seeds at Auckland International Airport when returning home to the city from China. New Zealand's Ministry for Primary Industries. God, I cannot read.
Well, those are big words. I mean, listen.
Primary?
You know, listen, it's tough. It's early in the morning.
New Zealand's Ministry for Primary Industries said in a statement on Wednesday, she was sentenced to intensive supervision for 12 months and 100 hours of community work. Why would you strap 947 cactuses to yourself?
So my question is now, are we talking about cactus seeds or are we talking about the actual cactus with the thorns and all that?
Both.
I mean, you got to be. I mean,
I figured it out.
Is there padding around the thorns to be able to do this or?
I don't know. So they don't show pictures of her with them. They just show pictures of them.
You got to love you some. Is cactus a big deal? I mean, are people going nuts for some Chinese cactuses?
Well, I figured it out. Apparently, the total value was $10,000.
Of cactuses?
Yeah, for 947 cactuses.
Still cheaper than the haircut my wife got the other day.
It's so true. By $7,000.
I didn't realize that cactuses or cacti, however you say it.
Cacti.
Are that big a deal? I mean, they're cool looking. You know, sometimes you like to get those little ones. My wife, I think, has them on her desk. You get the little clay pot. Little teeny weeny cactus that's on there. Okay. You got to really, I mean, even for $10,000, I don't know if I'd be strapping 190 cactuses to my body.
She had them in stockings.
In stock? In her While the stockings were on?
No, no. Like, separate stockings tied up. It doesn't make sense still, though, because they look like those thin stockings with lots of holes. So wouldn't that still be stabbing you all over the place?
Yes. I mean, I've never been that, for the exception of maybe, you know, seeing, like, the plants cactus. I've never actually been near a big cactus or any of these. I've never bought a cactus. The thorns are no joke.
Yeah, they're...
Now, that woman, I'm going to tell you what, she's trying to get it done.
Succulents wouldn't be so bad. They're usually pretty fleshy, and they don't really have any thorns.
So when you say succulents, I mean, what are we talking about? Succulents
look like cactuses without...
They're called succulents.
Yeah.
Does that mean because you can get something to drink in the desert out of them?
They're like 90% water.
Yes. So when you're lost in the desert, just like, you know, Wile E. Coyote is in the Looney Tunes, like you find a cactus, you cut it open, you get something to drink.
Like, I think aloe vera is a succulent.
You need a lot of that at a pizza restaurant, I'm telling you. With those ovens, it gets hot. All right, what's your sports update, buddy?
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672, or you can text us in the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. Gotten a lot of texts today. I haven't been able to get to them because we've been all over the place, but Rams fan Ralph, who we love, by the way. Rams fan Ralph called in one day, didn't he? It was fun to talk to him.
Yeah, he's great.
He said, "Hey, Jeff, did the show was today, Dick McPherson would have won with Brady." Well, that's just...
Not for 20 years.
Come on, Rams fan Ralph, you're better than that.
Not for 20 years,
but he also said, "Don't get me wrong, I met Belichick and he was nice, but thank God he knows defense because he can't pick a draft pick to save his life." That to me is such a fallacy, because when's the last time Bill Belichick had a big draft, like a top 5, 10, 15 draft pick? It just doesn't happen. He hasn't had a bad team forever. So let's stop that nonsense.
He has this year.
You want to go after a team that makes bad decisions with their draft? Look at me and my New York Football Giants. But hopefully, except for my quarterback Daniel Jones, we'll talk about later on. Todd from Essex said, "Sorry, I'm in and out of listening, so maybe you already covered this. It's simple to me: treat people poorly, and it comes out eventually. Bill is difficult and has made reporters' lives miserable for years. Payback time. Look how Andy Pettit has skated for being a good guy." Okay, Andy Pettit aside, that's a different talk for a different day, but how has Bill Belichick made reporters' lives difficult? Why? Because he doesn't divulge a whole lot of stuff. He kind of comes out and is kind of, you know, blah with his interviews. Like, that's made their life difficult. He's been rude to them. He's yelled. Like, give me a break. I don't get the Bill Belichick hate, man. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I know he rubs people the wrong way with sort of his don't say anything monotone responses to stuff. But, like, everyone loved it when it was Marshawn Lynch, so why are we doing this to Bill?
Yeah, I don't get it.
But regardless, I don't think karma is a thing in the NFL. I think the reality is every team eventually falls, and the fact that it took this long for the Pats to fall is pretty crazy, given that it's usually like 5 years.
Yeah, well, I just think and we're going to talk to Tom King next segment about that, but I do want to get into some, you know, and this will be fun for, I think, everybody, because the Super Bowl's tomorrow, and we've been talking about it a little bit, obviously, and I want to talk about some of our favorite Super Bowl memories. You know, so let us know right now, what's your best Super Bowl memory? The day that Super Bowl, you couldn't, it was just unbelievable. That one day that was like, that one moment for you, and I've got a couple. How about you? What's your favorite Super Bowl memory?
Oh, it's probably Malcolm Butler intercepting the pass at the goal line. That's probably got to be it for me. Although Julian Edelman's catch against the Falcons was pretty amazing too, being like, how did you catch that?
Well, I will tell you that there's one of the greatest upsets, and I tell this story every year, I'm going to tell it again, in Super Bowl history, wasn't in the game, but it was the year that the New England Patriots beat the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. So this is back in like 2004 or 5, I want to say. And a good friend of mine had a big party, and there was a lot of us there, and he had a pet snake. And anyone knows that I'm not a big fan of snakes, okay? So this was a bell python or boa constrictor, and it was a big snake. And, you know, to feed these snakes, you have to feed them live rodents.
Yep.
And he used to feed this snake rats, you know, big rats, okay? And I used to tell him, like, I don't want to be around it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be dealing with it. And here we were. I'll never forget it. Day comes, He goes, I got to feed the snake. And he goes, just Jeff, just stay. It's going to be fine. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I can't watch. And these aren't like, you know, cute little mice. This is like a really big rat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he puts the rat in and everyone's watching. I was kind of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out the door. And the boa constrictor or ball python, whatever, his name was Jose. That's all I can remember. And the snake got into the corner and curled up, and evidently that's what they do. You know, they're getting ready to strike. And the rat's defense, he just didn't care. He just was walking around it, stepping on it, didn't really matter. And that snake grabbed the rat by the head, right? So you're thinking, oh, God, here we go. Well, the rat pulls his head out, okay, headbutts the snake.
Oh,
okay?
Man.
Now, this is a big snake, okay? This is a huge snake. This rat is, you know, the rat with the tail is probably, I don't know, a foot long. But this snake is a big snake. So the rat takes his head out, headbutts the snake. And the snake looks at him. You could see he was confused. Like, what am I messing with here? Snake turned around, wouldn't touch the rat. The rat lived. The rat looked the beast in the eye and took care. It was the greatest comeback. It was the greatest upset in Super Bowl history to me. I mean, you would, in a million years, what's the odds of that? What's the odds of a rat against a huge snake winning? And it won. He had to bring that back to the pet store and get another one because he left it in there for a couple days. Nothing happened. Just unbelievable. So that's the greatest upset to me in Super Bowl history that I had ever seen. It happened on a Super Bowl Sunday back in whatever year that was, 2004, 2005, 6, whatever it was.
That's so crazy.
But to me, obviously the greatest Super Bowl moment for me is the Tyree catch was just unbelievable. And I can remember that drive like it was yesterday. I can remember sitting there with all my friends. We were just chomping. And then one of my good buddies had a dog at the time that was at our house. And he decided that he was going to get up and let the dog go out. He's going to take it out to go to the bathroom during that drive the Giants were driving to the field. And I said, you're going to sit there and not move. I don't care if that dog pees on my floor. You're not going to ruin this mojo. You're not going to destroy the drive here. And I can remember when Asante Samuel almost picked Eli Manning off. I want to say it was a second down play. It might have been the play before that happened. But that moment was just unbelievable. And then the huge catch by Plaxico Burress, just unbelievable. As a Giants fan, it was just unbelievable. That whole season, that whole playoff run for the Giants was just unbelievable. And it's just crazy.
Shane in Burlington says, Brandon Graham strip sacking Tom Brady, go Birds.
Yeah, how about that? And if you're an Eagles fan, I can imagine that feeling. I have some friends that are Eagles fans. The emotion of that had to just be unbelievable when the Eagles won their first Super Bowl. Because nobody, I mean, obviously with Carson Wentz going down that season, you bring in Nick Foles, he gets the job done. That had to be unbelievable. But every Super Bowl has their moments. I would say the other moment for me that I can remember was probably the Manningham catch against the Patriots was unbelievable. As a Giant fan, those are the moments. The first Super Bowl in 86, I was 12 years old, so I was young, but I can remember looking at my father when the Giants won because at that point, you know, he had his whole life the Giants were average, and they finally won the Super Bowl. What a moment that's got to be. And for Patriot fans, I can remember 2001 when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl against a Rams team that was a lot like this, you know, not obviously Kurt Warner wasn't as mobile as what Patrick Mahomes is, but at the same time, He was the dominant powerhouse. They were Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce and Marshall Faulk, and the list goes on. And these young Patriots with this kid at quarterback that nobody knows who they are wins a Super Bowl against them.
Yeah, it's the iconic the announcer saying to play for overtime, and then Tom Brady completes a pass. And then they get the drive going, and then they get in field goal range, and they kick the field goal, and they win the Super Bowl. And everyone's dumbfounded because the Rams were such a phenomenal team at that point in time.
Right.
It's pretty crazy.
Doug from Underhill said, hey, team, I was wondering for a long time how if the David Tyree catch would still be considered a catch in today's game. I don't know how it wouldn't be.
I think the ball does touch the ground when he's holding it against his head.
But it didn't really move, though. Yeah, he had complete control of that.
That's my thing. The ticky-tackiness of some of these catch rules, I know it's gotten better in the last few years. They've changed some stuff to make it better. It's ridiculous to me. Like, if you control the ball, you control the ball. Don't give me all that stuff. As a wide receiver, that has to be infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but I still think that catch, and even trying to remember it, I'd have to look at it again. I don't really remember that.
I think it barely.
And even in today's game, if the ball can hit the ground, as long as it doesn't move.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't move.
So there's no question that was a catch. It's just unbelievable. I mean, first of all, the fact that they don't blow the whistle, number one, because it looked like he was in the grass, but they let him, you know, he got free. And then when he throws the football, I can remember thinking, ooh, that guy must be wide open. But Tyree was not wide open.
No, he had Harrison right on him.
It wasn't like he was in the middle of it. He wasn't. And David Tyree, and if every, and I don't know if anybody, any Giant fans knows, that David Tyree wasn't this unbelievable wide receiver. He was a, he was probably like a third or fourth option on that Giant offense that season. And to make that catch against that defender, Rodney Harrison, ball against his helmet, you just kind of knew at that moment, like, wow, it's going to happen here. And what a moment it was. And then a couple plays later, Plaxico Burress catches the football, and here we go.
Yeah, that's probably the greatest play of Eli Manning's career, is getting out of that sack. And he heaved up a prayer, but like to get away, I think it was like three or four guys on him in the pocket there, and he just slips out. He's got a hand, I think, pulling his jersey.
Well, for a minute, it looked like he thought about, like he was about to just take the sack.
Yep.
And then he just said, I'm going to, he moves this. I don't even know how he got out. And it was, and again, at that point in that time, that was the time where NFL linemen were worried about really hitting quarterbacks. That's when the rules started to be in place. The Giants lost a couple of football. I can remember Mathias Kiwanuka, the Giants losing a game against Tennessee. I think McNair was the quarterback, or maybe Vince Young was the quarterback then. I can't remember it quite, but Kiwanuka hit him, but didn't hit him full force. He stayed on his feet and he ended up throwing a touchdown because Kiwanuka thought that he had sacked him, but didn't want to hit him too hard. Because there would have been a flag. So you wonder if there was that little mentality there in the Patriot lineman's mentality. Like, we don't want to hit him too hard.
Trying to drag him to
just hold him up a little bit, and he gets through and he throws that ball. It's just unbelievable. It's that's what I'm saying. Just sports in general. That's why you need them. That's why it's so exciting that they're back and we can see these guys play again and they can do it. That's what's so exciting for me, is that at the end of the day, now we can start looking forward to these moments, right? We can start looking forward to these moments. We talked about UVM playing basketball, how exciting that is. I mean, I think about the TJ Sorrentin shot against Syracuse. That was, no, oh my God, he just made that shot. I can't believe it. Those are the moments that you remember in Super Bowl Sunday that you have, if your team's ever won it. I mean, you have it to hold on to. The NFL Network, it's great right now. They're playing, I think, throughout the day or night, they play all the Super Bowls. And it brings you back. It really is exciting. And for Patriot fans, you're in a lot of those. So, that's exciting for you, too.
Yeah, and I we could talk about Pat's moments plenty, but I also love, in terms of like a heartbreaking moment, there's the Dyson coming up like 6 inches short. Was that the championship the week before, or 2 weeks before?
Yeah.
Dyson coming up short?
The year before the Patriots championship?
Yeah, because that was everyone thought that Tennessee was going to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
It was like their third or fourth season.
Oh, right, right.
Like
yes.
As a team, and then they come up short. That was a crazy moment. I think that might have been the championship,
You're talking about the Rams and the Rams and the Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that was the Super Bowl.
No, that was, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
It came up like 6 inches short.
That was Dick Vermeil's first championship. That was an unbelievable game.
That's a crazy moment. Yeah. And then you've got
Wide right was a big one. I love wide right.
And then you've got the onside kick at the start of the second half for the Saints to help get them their first championship. The Steelers pick six by Harrison, rumbling down the sideline, big guy, no one could get him down. There's a lot of great ones.
There's a lot of great moments. That's why you hope that tomorrow that the game is means something. You hope that it's not a blow, because we've had a lot of blowouts in Super Bowls. The years that the 49ers, except for there was a couple, I think the 49ers and the Bengals
those Bengals teams were good.
Yeah, when Boomer Esiason, I think that came down to the last drive, but most of the 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys games were just in the Super Bowl, were just blowouts.
Then there was that Seahawks against the Broncos game where they
out with a safety.
Yep, and they just never got it going, and the Seahawks just rumbled.
And obviously, the other thing that I love about the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl squares. Have you gotten any squares yet? Those are the best.
I won a couple $100 one year, and I almost won $500.
Oh man,
I was like 1 point away.
That's a lot of fun. See, think of the people that's what we were laughing about during that Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, when the ball was snapped over his head, was when it went to the safety, is people that had like 0 and 3, like there's numbers that you just want, sevens and that
ruined all of them.
And then when you get numbers like 2 and 5 or things like that, you think, oh, it's going to, then the first play of the game, you get a safety. It's just unbelievable. But those are the moments you love. Those are the moments in the NFL you love.
I just got a text that you might have a picture of the David Tyree catch.
And this must be my buddy from the Fairhaven area. Yeah, kept my butt. So let me tell you about this guy, Kevin Eddy. Okay, that's who's texting here, I believe. It's so funny, phone numbers. You don't recognize them because they're in their names in your phone.
Yeah, they've got contacts now.
This guy should write a book about getting autographs. Okay, this guy can get an autograph from anybody. He knows exactly how to do it. Way too many fanny packs though. Okay? he was the guy that always had the fanny packs. We'd be going to the games. But the man knows how to get autographs. And like, right after that happened, he got me a picture. And he met David Tyree at, I don't know where he met him, at a show or something. And he had him sign it for me. So I've got a big picture hanging in my house downstairs in my basement of David Tyree, ball against his head, Rodney Harrison on his back, just an awesome moment. Even though I will say that it's the autograph's starting to wear, but I don't even care. It's just an awesome photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Yeah.
Great moments. Great moments in the NFL, obviously, and we hopefully have some more tomorrow.
The Emmanuel Sanders catch in the corner, and that seems to be what I was just talking
and
about.
How about, you know, about and that. Again, and how about the moment? I mean, it was more than a moment, but the Patriots' big comeback against Atlanta. I mean, how about that? Oh. I mean, that's an unbelievable story in itself. I mean, you look at what they were able to do. That was absolutely iconic. I mean, we didn't even mention that. I can't believe that wasn't one of your favorite moments.
I had one of the moments from that, which was the Julian Edelman catch to keep that drive alive, where it looks like there's no way anyone's catching that ball. He's going to go down and hit the ground, and then he somehow gets his hands under it.
When that happened, I thought, they're going to win this football game. I really did. You know, there are things that happen in games. The Tyree catch is one of those. That reminds me of the Tyree catch. Yeah. I mean, there's the Lynn Swan catch that's legendary against the Cowboys.
Tipped it up, caught it.
Yep, just unbelievable. So, yeah, there's the hope, and hopefully we have some tomorrow. It would be a lot of fun to have some iconic moments from these teams tomorrow.
You know what was kind of funny about that was there were a lot of our moments where we had lost Super Bowls had come on, you know, either it's the Welker drop pass or it's the Tyree catch or it's the Manningham catch. It's all these catch moments.
Yeah.
And then we almost had one with Seattle where what's his name's falling to the ground and he catches the ball anyway. And it felt like that Edelman catch was payback for all those moments that we finally got that catch.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Not that we needed payback because we had all those. Yeah. Like I don't mean to be a jerk about it as a Pats fan. I know we've gotten very lucky, but we never had a catch like that in the Super Bowl, and then we did, and it was nice.
Well, thanks so much for the texts and all the great memories, and obviously tomorrow's a big day, and we'll probably have a few more iconic moments. When we come back, we're going to talk to Patriots insider Tom King as he tells us why Bill Belichick's getting all this, I don't know what the word is, some animosity, just kind of beating him down here. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
We are back here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. A lot of Super Bowl talk today. Obviously a big day tomorrow. But as I've mentioned, people have been, you know, texting it on the Town Fair Tire text line today, is that there's just been a lot of, I don't get it. Like, there's just been a lot of, you know, articles this week I've noticed. You know, I think it all started with Stafford announcing that he would not play for New England. You know, he obviously got traded to Los Angeles, but New England was a place he didn't want to go play. And, you know, we had talked to Tara Sullivan and that she feels that Deshaun Watson wouldn't choose to come play in New England. And I just don't get it. And so I thought, who better to talk to than the guy that's around the Patriots a lot? And joining us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line is our Pats insider, our good friend, who's probably got his feet up right now, eating a bowl of Frosted Flakes or something, getting ready for the big game, our good friend Tom King.
Granola with banana and blueberries on it. That's if you hold on a second, I got to go feed my snake. So I'll be right back, okay?
See, that's why I'm never going to come to your house, okay? Because if you have something like
that. Nobody does.
Well, there you go. Exactly. It's a good point. I should have known a guy like that looks like you would only eat granola and berries. That's my fault. I shouldn't have just assumed it was Frosted Flakes or something like that.
Granola is the Saturday choice of cereal. I have variety every week.
Got it. All right, Tom, listen, I reached out because, listen, you've been around the Patriots for a long time. You've covered their great teams. You've covered their years where they, not that they've had many bad years, but you're around it this year. But there seems to be, we did a whole segment, I don't know if you listened to the first half of the show, but we did a whole segment on Colin Cowherd's take on Bill Belichick and the Patriots overall, that they're irrelevant and that Bill Belichick, you know, essentially will never win anything because without Tom Brady, he can't do it. There was an article I read in the New York Post this week about, you know, Matthew Stafford telling his agent or telling the Rams that you look, or telling the Lions that don't trade me to the Patriots, I won't play there. Why do you think there's all this Bill Belichick hate going on right now?
Well, first of all, the Stafford thing is probably due to Patricia, because the Patriots hired Patricia as a special advisor or whatever. So I would think that was probably part of Stafford's comment.
Yep.
look, Bill Belichick is in charge of the entire football operation, and he's a control freak, and you know, he wants things done the right way in his mind. He wants things done his way, and there's really no other way to do it. And he's got, you know, when you have, see, I compare the Patriots and what happened with Brady and Belichick and everything else. Just what happens in a normal workplace when you've been there for 20 years. And, you know, look, there are probably a lot of days when Brady, you know, was, you know, walked to his car and threw the keys against it and said, I can't take this anymore, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there were a lot, tons of those days. And there were probably days when Belichick was shaking his head, saying, why can't he see it my way? So I think that, you know, with Belichick, he probably has his players on edge. You know, he probably, you know, there's probably a lot of pressure for guys to play, even if they have a nagging this or a nagging that, I'm sure. I mean, I think Ted Johnson talked about that years ago. And I just think that kind of, If you don't win, that type of mentality is eventually going to come back and hurt you. Now, that's not the reason that they went 7-9 this year. They went 7-9 because, you know, they had 8 players opt out. And I wonder if, you know, opting out was pushed a little bit by the fact that they said, you know, I don't know if they're, you know, Bill's not gonna take it easy on us with protocols and everything else. So who knows about that, but I think that, you know, and the fact they didn't have Brady, and also they didn't have a lot of people around him. Now, the one thing that gets me is the myth that Belichick last year, not last year, but the year before, in Brady's final season, didn't try to help him. Well, he did. You know, he went out and he got Antonio Brown, and he went out and you know, made some moves to try to help, and they just didn't work out. So That's a myth in my mind. But, you know, I just think that right now, look, you know, Belichick may help make Brady and Brady helped make Belichick, and that's the way it's been.
I guess I just don't – I guess for me – is my microphone working over there, buddy?
Guys, I'm
– can you hear me now?
Barely hear you. Yeah, you got a lot of static.
You got me now? I think we're back.
Yes.
Okay, we've had issues in here. That's what happens with this show. You know, sometimes we're on, sometimes we're not, but whatever. Anyway, but I guess my question is, though, is, you know, Bill Belichick, to me, never met him, never played for him. I'm just a guy that, I mean, you know, I'm not even around anything that would even give me an instance to know whether he's a good guy, bad guy. But to me, isn't it about, you know, you have a job to do, it's professional football, and the mentality is, oh, you know, he's going to be tough on us, or... You know, how much money has he made, guys? I mean, I look at the Patriots, and when I see these players, I use Shane Vereen as a perfect example. Shane Vereen was a difference maker for the New England Patriots.
Yep.
He goes to the Giants, and every Giant fan was so excited, oh, God, we got Shane Vereen. They never pan out anywhere else. He's made guys millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
And he brings guys every year. Aaron and I were talking about it earlier in the show, that every single year – especially through the years where they were dominant, they let guys go that you couldn't believe, and they'd bring guys in. You say, who are these guys? A year later, they're all pro. 2 years later, they're signing huge contracts with other teams and never living up to it. I mean, why would you not want to play for that type of mentality? The whole purpose of playing in most capacities is to win championships. At least that's what they tell us. I feel like Bill Belichick gives you the best chance to do it, and to think guys don't want to go do that, that's crazy to me.
Well, guys had to play there and then move on and make that money. So, you know, guys aren't coming there making that money right away. And that's why guys aren't coming there.
But I'll use Stafford as an example, and maybe it is because of Patricia.
Stafford is definitely with Patricia.
Fair enough. But for Stafford, to me, I think I want to try to win a championship, and I think Bill Belichick gives you the best chance to do that.
Well, you know what?
You've already made your money.
It's easy to say that because of the success, but Stafford's looking at a 7-9 team that, you know, has a lot of holes.
It's fair.
So, but he's also looking at, you know, I mean, I think the thing with Stafford was, you know, he kind of knew that he was going to go to the Rams because of the GM, you know, the Lions, it was a Ram and probably had a good connection there for him. So
yeah,
I think that was probably the case there. But look, New England is not a great destination right now, because the other thing too is people wanted to come and play with Tom Brady. You know, they really did. But also people knew they were going to go to New England. They weren't going to make top dollar. So you got guys that were willing to sacrifice and to try to win a championship, because, you know, once they sign on the dotted line there, they know the deal. And, you know, those guys are few and far between right now in the NFL, especially in today's world. So it's going to be, you know, where can I make the most money? Now, it'll be interesting to see what the Patriots do. This is going to be a big year for Belichick in terms of what they do in the offseason. It's, you know, Tarris Alden was right. It's going to be one of the most interesting offseasons we've ever seen, probably similar to the offseason when they went out and got Gilmore, and also the offseason, you know, before the 2007 season where they got all the offensive players, and they also signed Darius Thomas. See, they made two big money signings during my time covering them. Actually, three. The first was Bledsoe. And then that lasted a year, and then we all know what happened there.
Yeah.
The second was Adelius Thomas. That didn't work out. So that surprised me when they went out and they paid all that money to Gilmore, but they liked Gilmore. They liked his personality. They saw his talent and everything else. And it was you know, obviously it turned out to be a great move. But now Gilmore is worn out his welcome. And, you know, who knows, in the offseason he could be moving on. So, you know, but the bottom line is, it doesn't look good for Belichick this year when he loses the greatest quarterback of all time, basically because the greatest quarterback of all time didn't want to play for perhaps the greatest coach of all time. And then he goes out and gets a veteran that everybody thought would probably fill the bill, and no pun intended, and flopped. And his team goes 7-9, you know, 5 to 6 key players, mainly on defense, didn't want to come back because of COVID. Opted out, and his team goes 7-9, and trailing him are years of bad drafts, and you know, now that's got to change. See, what happens with the Patriots is something that would happen with, other than the Brady situation, with any NFL team. You don't draft well, eventually it catches up to you. And especially when you're not willing to go out and pay a lot of money for marquee free agents. And I understand why he doesn't do that, because he's been successful without it, because he spreads the money around. So he has a team that's more of a team and more talented all the way down to the 35th to the 45th player.
But like, can I just follow up on the draft piece and tell me where I'm wrong? And I know Aaron's got a question too. But this is a guy that, what's the highest pick he's had in the last 20 years? I mean, I mean, I understand that you're not drafting well, but how many guys are hitting home runs with these picks year in and year out?
I'm not just talking about the first round. You got to go all the way down through it.
No, that's what
He had better drafts from 2000 to 2010. He had better drafts.
But don't you think when you're talking about drafting in the third round, fourth round, fifth round, that there's no guarantees there. I mean, those are the hopeful draft picks.
No, but when you've been successful with it and then all of a sudden you aren't, then there's a problem. Okay? And the other thing is you know, you drafted N'Keal Harry. You know, that's he's the poster child right now. He's a major bust.
Yeah, but you're
and he hemmed and hawed. I mean, I saw the Patriots All Access tape of it. But he's walking back and forth, and it was between Harry and another player. And he thought long and hard about it, and then he made the choice. It was his choice. He made the choice for Harry. So, I mean, the drafts just haven't been good. You know, there was one year where they drafted 4 players, and none of them are around.
So when you're...
You can't survive in the NFL that way. I mean, that's why I think the Rams are really... You know, they don't have a first-round pick till forever. So eventually it catches up. Eventually it's going to catch up with you.
So in your mind, what is the plan, or what should the plan be at quarterback? Should they try and make a move for one of these other quarterbacks that potentially could be gotten in a trade? Should they go get a free agent as a Band-Aid or a long-term free agent or draft? What's your thought?
Well, I mean, I think the best situation for at the quarterback position is when you draft one and he's yours for a while and he turns out to be a really good quarterback. You know, there aren't many, you know, Tom Brady's only come around once in a lifetime, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're going to have to draft somebody and I guess go out and sign a veteran to try to hold the fort for a while. But they've got to hope that, and they've got to think that that quarterback that they're drafting is going to be, you know, one of the better ones that they can bring along. I know that you guys were talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick and he'd be a good Band-Aid quarterback and everything else. I just shake my head. I don't know. How far has this team gone downhill? With, you know, we used to laugh at Ryan Fitzpatrick. I just don't know. I mean, then he would play for, then he hits the quadfecta, right? He plays for everybody in the AFC East. So I just think that that's a step backwards. I really think that they would love to trade for Garoppolo. And I'm telling you, I just don't, other than the fact he can't stay on the field, Garoppolo, when he's quarterback the 49ers, he's won. They haven't won with anybody else. What is Kyle Shanahan's problem with him? I don't get it.
Well, but don't you think he got, he got exposed late last year. I mean, they won a lot of games despite him last season, and I'm not talking about the season just ended, the year that they went to the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
I mean, he was dynamite early, but then late in the year, he was a turnover machine. I mean, I don't know what Shanahan's problem is, because obviously the alternative isn't great, but, you know.
I agree. You know, I understand that, I don't know. I just think he's a good quarterback, and if you got a good quarterback, you hold on to him. And, they signed into that deal, but it certainly sounds as though they'd love to find somebody else and trade Garoppolo. So, you know, we'll see if that happens. If Garoppolo is on the market, you can bet that Belichick will try to grab him, unless his injury history is something that they'd be afraid of. So, because he just can't stay healthy on the field. So now I have a Colin Coward take. You ready for it?
I'm ready. Can't wait to hear this.
Okay. See, Coward's history is a little off. His idea was almost right, but his history was off, because the Patriots really became popular when they got Bill Parcells, because that legitimized them.
Mm-hmm.
Because Parcells changed the way things were done there.
Right.
There is one play in NFL history that has had more of an effect on the league ever since it happened, and the careers of so many, that it's almost, I mean, if you start connecting dots, it'll drive you nuts. Can you come up with that play?
Is it Bledsoe
play
going down?
It's changed the course of history.
Mo Lewis.
Especially here in New England.
Mo Lewis.
What?
Mo Lewis.
No.
I have no idea then.
What is
you
it?
Get it?
No, I have no idea. What is it?
The fumble.
Oh, that's good. The fumble.
The Zonka.
That's
changed everything. Changed everything.
Very true.
Rozella had to get involved to save the Giants because of the bickering between the Maras. They went out and they hired George Young. George Young hires Ray Perkins, the late Ray Perkins. Ray Perkins hires, I believe he hired Belichick as well, but I'm not sure. And he hired Parcells. And then take it from there.
And this is why I love Tom King, because he always brings it back to my New York Football Giants.
Exactly. Everything comes back to the Giants. Everything does.
Tom, we got to go real quick. Who do you got tomorrow? Who wins?
I got Tampa Bay. I just don't like the fact that Chiefs don't have two tackles, that have two starting tackles. I just think it's tough to win without two guys that are on your offensive line. But we'll see. And my favorite Super Bowl memory is when I got lost going down to the post game at the Jacksonville Super Bowl and I walked out of the stadium by accident. There you go.
You're the best, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right, guys.
All right, that's the great Patriot Insider Tom King. He really is a fun guy to talk to.
He's the best.
Quick break. When we come back, it's Hot or Not. Don't go anywhere.
Don't worry about putting on that winter coat because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
Nelly's making a comeback. He's in TV commercials, Dancing with the Stars. I don't know. I feel like he's coming back.
I do feel like his name's popped up more lately.
Yeah, good for Nelly. Good for Nelly. All right, buddy. When he starts to play his beat, Aaron's got some hot takes. What do we got today, pal?
Superb Cupcakes sponsors this segment, of course.
Delicious.
And they are open for curbside pickup. Available flavors are posted on their Facebook and Instagram pages daily. Call them today at 802-871-5941 and place your order for contact-free pickup.
All right, so hang on now. Let me just find the cupcake of the day today is... Drum roll, please. Come on. So that's what Clark Griswold asked for, you know. French toast.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm just telling you. Like, if you're looking for a place to give yourself a treat, everybody like got a little sweet tooth once in a while. You want something? Go check out Superb Cupcakes. And it's not just the fact that they got the basics. They always have to have something really cool. You know what I mean? I mean, a French toast cupcake. I mean, that's a winner chicken dinner. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
All right, what do you got today?
The Mets needed Trevor Bauer to complete in the NL.
Hot. I mean, I don't know what the Mets are doing now. I don't blame the Mets for not getting him, because I don't think the Mets offered him more money and I think more years. But I think this deal that Bauer got is brilliant. I think it's a three. I have to look it up again, but I quickly looked at it this morning. I think it's a 3-year deal with an opt out after the first year. He gets to go home and pitch in Los Angeles, where he's from. He's going to pitch for the defending champions, and they're going to be unbelievable this season. So it's a good move. I don't know why the Mets fans out there, the ones that I've seen, didn't want this guy. I don't care what kind of personality he has. He's a difference maker. I want the Yankees to sign him. This guy's a number one starter. The Mets have all this money. They started out, you know, Lindor, I mean, all this excitement around it. They don't get Springer, who ends up signing in Toronto, and now they let Bauer go. I think the Mets needed him. I really do.
Yeah, especially since that's one of the teams they're going to be coming up against if they want to make a run is LA. And LA right now, like, Trevor Bauer as a defending championship, how much better can you do in free agency than getting a guy like Trevor Bauer?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I mean, I don't know why more teams weren't in on him, but obviously the personality rubbed people the wrong way. I mean, he definitely trolled some Mets fans. I don't know if you saw what he was doing. He was giving away signed Mets hats all the way down till he signed with the Dodgers. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he's just a guy who does what he does. He likes to be himself, and I don't think that's something that should stop you from wanting him when he's that good.
There were some concerns about him in Cleveland, and rightfully so. He did some things in Cleveland that were just crazy. But, you know, you saw a dominant pitcher last year in Cincinnati and a guy that's a difference maker. And for a Mets team that's got all this quote-unquote money and ready to make the next step, you know, not getting him was tough, I think. I really do. Now, I may be in the minority with that because I think a lot of people feel like it's good that he's not there. But if you're the Mets, I think you need him.
I wanted him badly as a Red Sox fan.
I bet.
Oh, that would have changed things so much have a guy, a legitimate first or second guy, depending on where sale's going to be this year.
Oh, yeah, Bauer's the guy.
All right. Detroit won the Stafford trade.
No, not even question. Hot. They get two first round draft picks plus a third rounder, and they get Goff. I mean, that's an unbelievable win for Detroit. And I'm not sure what the Rams are thinking. I'm really not. Stafford is an injury-prone quarterback, tough guy, no question about it.
Yep.
And he's probably a little better than Goff, but I wouldn't say he's insanely better than Goff. I just don't think he is. Now, I understand that, you know, Detroit doesn't have the weapons maybe that LA they're the Los Angeles Rams now. I mean, I don't know, but to me, getting two first-round picks and a proven NFL quarterback for Detroit is a big deal, and it's going to help them.
I would say Stafford's a good deal better than Goff, but if you're the Rams, he's got to be good enough to get you to a Super Bowl. Otherwise, you just gave up two first-round picks and a third. That's a lot of your future.
For Matthew Stafford, an aging quarterback that gets hurt a lot, that's never won.
Yeah, that's a lot of your future to be giving up. He better get you there. And then for Detroit, they need the rebuild. So to get a quarterback who you know is starter level.
And young.
Yeah. And then to also get draft picks, that's huge.
And can I just say, it wasn't just a couple years ago that Goff was the next hot thing.
I've never been high on him.
Well, you may not be high on him, but he's a capable quarterback when healthy.
He's a starter.
And he's proven that he's tough enough. I got to tell you, I think Detroit hit a home run here.
Yeah, that is huge. In 5 years, this trade could be having them in the playoffs. Let's see here. This will be the highest scoring Super Bowl ever. Now, the highest scoring so far is 75 points, I think in like 95.
Yeah, I mean, you had mentioned it when you... Yeah, I'm going to say not, just because I think that in most cases, whenever we think it's going to be, it's not. And we haven't even talked about, and somebody on the text line, I can't remember who, maybe it was Rams fan Ralph mentioned it on the text line, that we haven't even talked about the Kansas City defense, which has been dominant as well. That's a very good defense as well. But I think what you're going to have is, I wouldn't be surprised... Of course, it won't happen because I'm predicting it. It'll probably be like a 3-0 score after the first quarter as these two teams try to feel themselves out. Kansas City can obviously stop you in a lot of facets. They can rush you. They've got the ability to cover you, and they've got quick linebackers. Tampa Bay, all season long, we know they've got a decent pass rush, but they create turnovers. I mean, literally. I mean, they turned Aaron Rodgers over. They turned Drew Brees over. They're an opportunistic defense. I'm looking forward to both of those teams going head-to-head. I hope it's a high-scoring game, and I hope it's back and forth. That would be a lot of fun, but I just don't see that happening.
It wouldn't shock me. I know the Buccaneers' defense has been very good, but I just don't know what you physically do to combat that offense with the way they've been playing lately. And then I don't know how you stop playoff Tom Brady from getting his. I don't think it's the highest scoring. I'm also not, but I think it could be pretty close because I think as good as these defenses are, I don't know how... any defense stops these two teams.
And I will just say
right now,
the Green Bay defense stopped Tampa Bay last week in the second half. I mean, Tom Brady turned the ball over a lot in the second half. And I will say, in order for Tampa Bay to get this done, Mike Evans has got to be the guy that we all think he's going to be. Mike Evans is a dominant, he physically bigger than everybody, fast. He's like Plaxico Burress to me, only probably a little quicker. And he really hasn't shown up yet in these playoffs. He has to show up for Brady if the Bucs win this thing this week.
And it's funny, it's not just him. There were three different receivers, I think, with multiple drops in that game against Green Bay. That cannot happen.
Yeah, but I will just say that if this gets into a shootout situation, Kansas City's in the driver's seat. Because I don't think Tampa Bay is dominant as they can be on offense. I'm not sure Brady wants to get in that kind of game. I don't think Brady's that quarterback anymore. Love what he can do, and obviously he can still sling it. And was proving that last week as Bruce Arians didn't take his foot off the gas with that big lead at halftime. But they almost gave it all away, and that's what makes me nervous if this gets to a situation where he's got to throw the ball too much.
Yeah, you don't want to end up one of those games where Kansas City scores three touchdowns in the third quarter, and all of a sudden you're going into the fourth down a couple scores.
Exactly.
Like, that's not
exactly.
good. All right. The Giants should trade whatever they have to get Deshaun Watson.
Not. And there was an article that came out today earlier this week, that the Giants are 100% out on Watson and they're 100% on Daniel Jones, and they should be. Getting Watson would be what they'd have to give up, first round picks for the next 3 or 4 years. They'd have to give up a lot and Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, I'm telling you right now, I've said it all year long, and I've had people come in Ramuntos and yell at me for this and make fun of me for this, but I'm telling you, Daniel Jones will be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. The quarterback position for the Giants is just fine. Get him some weapons that he can throw to, and you're going to see, you saw what happened with Josh Allen in Buffalo, right? When they got Stephon Diggs for him. When you do that for the Giants, you can do that for Daniel Jones, a guy that's a difference maker that can separate. You're going to see a quarterback that's going to flourish. The Giants have their quarterback. Love Watson, great player. Who wouldn't want him on their football team? If there was a way to get him on the Giants, who wouldn't want him on their football team? But I like that the Giants are all out on that. Keep your draft picks. Do things to better that quarterback, and you're going to be just fine.
So I agree that Daniel Jones is their guy. And I don't think that actually matters, because I think if you're in the Giants' position, you cannot go backwards by giving up so many draft picks to get that guy. Like, you're in the middle of a rebuild. You cannot afford to give up what will become assets for you in order to get one guy. If you do, what you'll get is a Deshaun Watson in 3 years who's not happy again because he's got nothing around him.
And I would argue that the Giants aren't in a rebuild yet. I think the Giants are in the process where they've rebuilt, and now it's just about fine-tuning and getting healthy and getting the right pieces back. That's what it's about for them. And I'm going to tell you, I told you guys this year, going into season, they finished 6-10, I get it, and coulda, shoulda, woulda, but there were a lot of games that got away from them just because they weren't quite good enough with enough offensive weapons to get the job done. That team could have easily been 9-7, 10-6 without a shout of out. They're close. Got to get some weapons for Daniel Jones, and that team's going to be a dynamite.
My point is more that I think they're still far enough away that those draft picks would kill them to lose.
Of course, you can't lose them.
It would be so destructive.
And even if, I mean, look at the Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, we just got a text from the text line from Scott in Plattsburgh. The Rams will go 12-4 next year with Stafford. Maybe they will. But in 2 or 3 years, they're going to be a terrible football team. And you better hope they go 12-4 and they better win a championship, because that what they've sold the farm to get a, to hopefully get a championship or get into a Super Bowl. Is it worth it to do that right now? To the Giants, you don't need to do that. You got the quarterback.
We just heard from Tom King that drafting poorly will come up and catch you at some point. Well, not drafting at all will too.
Very true. Very true.
That's hot or not.
Well, there you go. Perfect. Perfect. Todd just texted us. He said, where they draft every year is no excuse. When I had mentioned about where the Patriots had been drafting, teams like the Steelers, Ravens, and Saints draft low every year, but always find big time contributors in the draft. Todd, yeah, you got a good point there. But to me, I think it's tough. We nitpick Bill Belichick. You know, we talk about Akil Harry, and that's the problem, right? Look what he drafted. It was a bad draft. Look at the guys he has drafted, and look at what he's done with the scraps of the NFL when they come in. I don't think it's fair to take a look at Bill Belichick and call him this terror. He doesn't draft well, doesn't do this well. He's been picking in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. That's where they get their picks from the majority of the time. Yes, once in a while they get their first round pick. Most of the time, Patriot fans are frustrated because they've traded those picks to get later picks. I just think you got to pump the brakes on the Tom on the Bill Belichick thing and just trust the process with him and know that it's all going to be okay.
And I think it could be a mentality thing too. I think knowing he had the quarterback and the defensive pieces, I think Bill spent a long time drafting guys who were fits as opposed to like the most talented guy he could get. Without that quarterback and without some of that security, he may very well get more aggressive in the guys he chooses to go for. Like, we still have to see.
Yeah, I mean, let this play out. One bad season in a year where there was COVID and all this stuff went down, it's not fair to pile up on him yet. Let's just see what he does and give him the benefit of the doubt. He deserves that. He's been the dominant force in the NFL for 20-something years, more than that. Anyway, we'll talk about this later. Quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on the show. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Before we tie a bow on the show, I want to get to a couple of these texts. PFF showed that Jared Goff no longer threw the ball further than 40 yards and had one of the worst completion percentages of passes over 50 yards. I'm just kidding. That's what it spells like. I don't. The stats thing. I don't even know. Pro Football Focus. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
You're better than I am, James.
Yeah,
evidently, because they do that kind of work. I'm just saying. I'm looking at what I see out of the guy. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But it doesn't even matter. I mean, at the end of the day, Detroit's going to win this matchup. I don't think Stafford's the guy. And then Matt, the new sales guy, says, I always like driving on Saturday mornings because you guys do a great job. Kudos. Well, that's nice. It's nice to hear something nice.
Matt's a good guy.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for texting that. All right, you could have gone to the... Listen, we had the Green City Garage. Listen, I can't even... I'm rushing. I got to slow it down. That's my biggest problem, Aaron. I rush.
Reset.
I got things going all over the place. Got to take a deep breath.
Pass back to the key and let the play develop.
Exactly. And you got to stop rushing things, JP. You got to slow it down. Anyway, you could have gone to Twitter today at 101.3 The Game and answered our poll question, our Green City Garage poll question, which was, who you got in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs or the Bucks? Aaron, the results are interesting to me. What do you got?
Buccaneers got 61% against the Chiefs. 39.
I'm shocked. I'm really shocked at that because I feel as if you're that a lot of people would be on the Chiefs bandwagon here. But I have to give kudos to you Patriot fans out there that aren't jumping ship. I got to tell you, I compare Tom Brady as my Derek Jeter. And if Derek Jeter decided to go play for the Los Angeles Dodgers and they were in the World Series and getting ready to win one, I would be rooting against that. I would not want to see my guy winning a championship in another uniform. I just wouldn't want to see it. I give you Patriot fans props for going out there and rooting for Tom Brady. I think it's great.
I'm not sure all of these people are rooting for him. They just have seen enough of Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
No, you're rooting.
Oh, I am.
You root. When you decide, hey, I'm going to pick them, these are all, nobody knows who you are. So you're picking who you want to win when you do those questions. I mean, that's impressive because I have to tell you, what Tom Brady to the Patriots is, I mean, I guess I just compare it. Just Jeter to me. And I would, if he ever played somewhere else or wearing another uniform, I would have been devastated. But you Patriot fans take it in stride. I'm impressed. I really am. Because usually Patriot fans are tough. Boston fans are tough.
It's kind of like if instead of retiring the second time, Michael Jordan had gone straight to the Lakers.
Like, oh, that would have been rough.
Yeah.
But you know what? Well, you know, he came back. He went to the Wizards after he retired. So I was okay with that. But if Michael, in the middle of it all, like towards the end, decided to go to Pickett, it doesn't matter who he went to. I mean, that would have been devastating for me. Anyway, all right, guys, that's Sports Saturday this week. We will be back next week. Hey, and by the way, if you got a Jeep and you're around town, my wife and I are into this. If you see a little duck on, have you heard of this? This new phenomena, ducking? So if you have a cool Jeep, we have a Jeep. So we think people, well, you put a duck on. My wife got one the other day, a little duck. So now my wife's all into that. So we're putting ducks on people's Jeeps. So don't get mad if you see a duck on your Jeep. The Pauls are out there just trying to make you smile. You know what I mean? Anyway. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We are Sports Saturday. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Root for whoever you like to. Be safe and enjoy your weekend. It's one of the best times. You know, make sure you get good food. That's important. Good food. Make sure the TV's working. Relax and enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week.